So what I'd like to do is, I'm going to first kind of put my little screen share on, and I'm going to be using slides a lot more, primarily just because it helps me to stay on track. But today's topic is really creating your ideal client avatar. And before I kind of dive into this, why this is important is absolutely everything you do in your marketing, you are marketing to a person, not to, you know, a bunch of people, but you are doing what's called a relationship, or, you know, if you're doing some digital marketing, you're still talking to a person as if they were right across you, whether you're in person with them or you're on screen. And so your ideal client avatar is literally a real person that you create. I kind of talk about as your Frankenstein, and it's a person that you're going to be speaking to when you blog, when you do audio, when you even write your email. I mean, everything you do in marketing is going to be speaking as if this person was literally someone you knew intimately. And my very first thing that always comes up is, well, what if I have multiple people I want to work with? And just a general reminder, if you guys could put your mute on, that would be fantastic. But a lot of us want to go like, oh, you know, I want to market to this person and this person and this person. And if that's you, then simply just create multiple client profiles. You know, you're going to have different avatars. I mean, it'll be pretty obvious. You know, like I wrote down, would you speak to a 60-year-old executive the same way you speak to a 25-year-old golfer? Absolutely not. Different interests, different, you know, language, different things. You know, there might be some shared values in there, but you're really wanting to make sure that whenever you are marketing to someone, that you're speaking as if you really got them. And which means that if you have multiple clients or multiple audiences for your services, then it's likely you're going to have multiple sales pages directed to that audience. And for example, like on one of my websites, I had when I was doing health coaching, I had one for people that wanted to lose weight. And so that copy and that content was very different than the person that wanted to become fit and healthy, that was more interested in becoming more athletic. You know, again, I was, you know, had an umbrella of services, but I had two different audiences. So everything on one page may resonate a tiny bit with the other audience, but really what we're trying to do is really create that deep rapport and connection. So the very first thing we're going to do today is work on creating kind of our egoic title for our clients. Those of you that have gone through the Infuse course, there's a whole module on this, but what I want to do is really get specific. And what I mean by that is just get so connected to this person that you literally can just step into that marketing mindset on demand. When you know who your ideal client is, it makes it a lot easier to just figure out what you're going to say. You know, like a lot of people say, well, what do I write about? Or how do I start my webpage on the front page? You know, this is why we do this. So what I'm going to ask you to do is give a name to your avatar. And what I'm going to do is I realize I need to send you guys in the chat room a little document. Hi, Casey. So I put in the chat box your ideal client example. And what I'm going to have you guys do is just replace my copy in there. I gave an example when I wrote some ideas in there, so you kind of get some ideas of what we're talking about. Hi, Karen. Hi, Lael. Hi, Karen, too. Okay. Did anyone not get the document? Okay. So I want you to give your ideal client, your client avatar, I should say, a name. And because, you know, so I use Kathy. Kathy is actually a real person. She is as I described Kathy in the document, I'm adding in, you know, things that I also want in someone to be just like Kathy. So even though I'm thinking of a real person who is a real client of mine, I'm also doctoring up my client avatar to reach some other things that I think would be interesting to Kathy, which may not be Kathy. And we'll kind of talk about that, because what you're really trying to do is create, you know, like a persona, so that you know who you're talking to, but also it really allows you to define who you want to attract. I think this is the law of attraction could also come in here a little bit. But what we're going to do is give our avatar a name. If you think that you're only going to work with females, you know, or people that identify as female, then maybe you use a female name. If you think that you're only going to work with male identified people, maybe you do male name. Or if you're not sure, you maybe do like a universal name. And, you know, you could give it as flamboyant as you want. It could be, you know, I just use something pretty generic like Kathy, because now, and every time I say Kathy's name, she pops up in my mind. It's pretty cool. And she is really cool. So after that, what you're going to want to do is make a pretty important decision is, where are you planning on marketing to your avatar? Are you looking at just working locally? Most of us don't have a client base, enough of a client base, or we don't feel like we have enough of a client base to work just locally in our little cities or our big cities. Or maybe we want to work more like a couple states out, or maybe we want to work with our whole country, and maybe we want to work with global. One of the things I want to tell you is, when you work with a global audience, it's absolutely fantastic, but you're going to run into one big problem called the exchange rate. You know, because in America we have, you know, XX, you know, maybe in Canada it's X.5. I mean, your dollar rate, so your currency rate could be a little bit different. And so, you know, like I run into challenges where, you know, if I'm working in countries that are less developed or there's an economic drop, you know, those people can't necessarily afford me. So I'm going to have to decide, do I want to market to them in a different way? Or am I going to market, you know, to my main audience and keep my rates the same? It's pretty common that people will try to figure out ways to accommodate people as coaches, but it can get really challenging. You know, same thing can happen within a country. I mean, if I live on the West Coast in a semi, like a medium-sized city, I think, but I can tell you that if I get clients from LA or New York, they're a lot more willing to pay me top dollar than the people in Portland, Oregon. So I might, in my strategy, say, I'm going to look for the Kathys that are in the bigger cities, you know, and even though right now you might be going, why am I talking about this? It's because when you go to market yourself, your copy content and your digital, you know, your meta tags and everything you do to prepare your website for a search engine, you can actually target particular places in the world. So even though you may not go like, oh, you know, I only want to work locally, a lot of these decisions are going to affect how you market yourself and particularly how you position yourself in terms of the search engines. And then, of course, it will also help you determine, you know, are you going to do a lot of speaking? Are you going to do a lot of podcasts, video, things like that? So part of these are about your client avatar, but they're also things that are going to help you make the bigger decisions later. Okay. All right. So the next thing you're going to do is come up with an age timeline. And what I mean by that is kind of like a range. And this is so hard. Like, I think in mine, I put like 30 to 60 because that's actually who comes to me. But I will tell you that most of my clients are usually 40 to 50. And the reason is there's a certain thing that happens in someone's age timeline around 40 to 50, especially for female. You know, some things change in our hormones and we start getting ourselves on the priority list. And so a lot of my clients that want to make the changes they want to make, you know, biologically, things have shifted. They're no longer taking care of kids. They're no longer worried about raising family, or if they are, the kids are taken care of. But more and more I'm getting, you know, a lot of people that are in their 60s and even 70s that are like, hey, I want to have my third chapter and I want it to be magnificent. So as you can tell, like, each age range has a different focus, kind of where they go for information, you know, what's important to them. So this alone may mean that you have two avatars. So if I'm focusing, you know, like on an age range of like the 20s to 30s and even the, you know, like mid 30s up, you know, about 35 up, those people tend to be maybe closer to the 40s. You know, again, it really depends on many factors, but the idea here is that you're really starting to look at kind of what language they use, kind of where do they hang out, what's important to them in their life. You know, I think someone in their 20s is probably still trying to finish school or get their career going, or like a lot of us get their businesses going. Somebody in their 30s might be thinking, oh, I need to get married and make babies if they haven't already. Someone in their 40s might be starting to really focus on their career or really developing their role in a business. I mean, you know, I can't say that any of these are true because you're going to know that from your clients, but these are things we're looking for, is where can we kind of estimate the cutoff is in terms of the age. Okay. The next one is a challenge, and you'll see that I kind of cheated because there are so many labels for gender. and this, again, may or may not be important to you and your audience, but I will tell you, in today's market, I think inclusion of lots of gender variety is going to be really important. Welcoming people from all different thoughts, beliefs, you know, preferences and things like that. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that we can do this for others, but it also may mean that your language and your website and how you write copy, you know, reflects that. And so there's the gender identity. You know, does your audience like believe that, you know, does they react to more like, do they think of themselves, can't talk, female or woman, girl? You know, if someone, you wouldn't call a 6-year-old woman a girl unless you're like, hey, girl. Maybe, you know, but in general, you're going to speak a little bit differently. Again, you know, if someone identifies as male, you know, are they a man? Are they a boy? Are they a teenager? Some of these things are going to be those little nuances that really help your audience to go like, hey, that's me. And of course, there's other genders, you know, of course, transgender, and I could go on forever. But the idea is really know who you're marketing to. And again, this might differentiate you into two client avatars, just a little bit. Now, of course, there are some people that express their gender differently. You know, I have plenty of female friends that are very masculine. I have very quite a few male friends that are very feminine, you know, and then other types of expression. You know, also, you know, are your audience, you know, connected or attracted to same sex, you know, to other genders? You know, these are little things that may play out depending on the niche you're doing. Okay, I want to check in. Any questions coming up? Are you guys feeling good? Okay. Am I going too fast? Amy?
I'm just curious, and this is something that's come up for myself and a bunch of like teachers and facilitators, is especially in the transgender community, et cetera. I was teaching a class and I was saying, you know, for all the guys or all the girls and women, it's never really been an issue. And someone came up to me, and I didn't have anyone at that time transgendered in my class, but she has a lot of friends who are. And I was wondering, and she was saying, you know, in that class, had they been in that class, they wouldn't have felt included. And I'm curious if you have any insights on who or where to find information on, and I mean, this is an open question, on how to communicate to people that are transgendered without like just doing it holistically with allowing for the pronouns that we already use, because people do identify as male and female. It's so hard. I don't know what to do.
Well, what I would say is connect with Guinevere.
Okay.
She is transgender.
Okay.
Because I personally don't think there is a rule book out there that anyone looks at specifically.
Okay.
And her and I have had long conversations around like, God, what do you, how do you identify with everyone so everyone feels included?
Totally.
You know, and I suspect she would identify as a she.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I shouldn't put words in her mouth, but I think honestly, it's, you know, there's no right way of doing it, but also just being vulnerable and just saying, you know, if someone feels like they weren't heard. I have, you know, I know several other transgender people, and they don't actually want to be identified as transgender. They want to be identified as the sex they are. So
That's okay.
So I don't know if your source was coming from a viewpoint or a collective viewpoint.
Okay. Okay. It's a talker. It's a talker.
Yeah. But yeah, she's in a Facebook group. So just,
okay.
Yeah, she'll, I'm sure she'd be happy to help you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. You guys got your list going? Okay. Go back to the share. So again, identity might be a big piece of it. And I'm kind of lumping identity with more about gender and sexual preferences here. You know, in mine, I don't particularly have a niche based around this, but if you are wanting to serve a particular niche, you know, this could be a really important piece in your avatar. Now, here's where we mostly see the traditional things around, you know, a person's career or their type of business, their roles or titles. You know, this always challenges people because how often do we know what industry our avatar is in? Sometimes we don't, you know, if I was to look at like the coach training industry and especially CTW, I mean, we've got people from all different industry backgrounds and all different titles, but it's pretty likely that you're going to be able to see that there's certain things that are going to be resonant between your ideal clients. So if you're obviously wanting to work in the beauty industry, you know, someone in high tech or manufacturing is probably not going to be your market. When I was doing leadership work, you know, I worked a lot in biotech and the medical world, I should say. And then I got pulled into the manufacturing world, and certainly the manufacturing world had very different language than the medical world. And so when I was talking to one group or even coaching in one area, my language was very different. But, you know, if it's possible to identify what industry or industries they might be in, and that's useful, again, this is where we can kind of really hone things in. And then sometimes it's helpful, especially if we're working for business to business, you know, to know what kind of titles, you know, if we're going after senior leaders, if we're going mothers of six, you know, that's a title too. You know, again, you know, how do they identify with themselves? Some people identify as like being sports professionals or therapists. You know, there's a lot of different things in here that your ideal client might say, hey, that's me. And that's kind of the big game here is we really want them to go, that's me, because then we've got their attention. The other thing to think about is their education level. And, you know, and I think in my sample, I wrote not applicable. But the idea is if you are working with people that are just finishing high school, you know, they're going to have different priorities and different ways they interpret and look at the world or even read information than someone maybe with a PhD. Again, you know, within even education, you know, someone that maybe has gone to become a doctor versus someone who's become a horticulture therapist. Isn't that cool? You know, again, different language, different ways of connecting, different values, different priorities. Another thing with education level, which this is a little sidestep from your avatar, is if you're planning on doing a lot of group workshops and trainings, you know, there can be dynamics. I notice people with advanced degrees sometimes, especially around business, kind of seek to be with like-minded people. I think this is true with a lot of us. You know, if we have similar backgrounds, there might be a more comfortable level knowing that I'm going to be in a group of therapists or I'm going to be in a group of coaches or that my peers aren't all these academics. You know, and again, it's just how people feel comfortable. But again, things to think about as you are choosing your ideal market. Okay. Income level, you know, my big thing about this is you need to make sure that you are marketing to clients that can afford you. And that doesn't mean you can't market to people that may not have all the economic means. You just do it a little bit differently and you create opportunities for them a little bit differently. So, you know, how much do they earn? You know, are they earning, you know, $20,000 a year, US dollar? You know, are they earning, you know, $200,000? You know, the difference in income are going to mean several things. You know, higher income people are going to have different standards. They're probably going to look at your website and what you say with a different lens than maybe someone that's lower income, you know, but that doesn't necessarily always ring true. So these are just, general ideas. You know, lower incomes are, clients are probably going to need a way to afford you. So that means you're probably going to be doing more group work or maybe offering more digital services. You know, again, you know, these are things that you're going to look at later in your business strategy, but also as we're kind of pinpointing our avatar, you know, it's like, okay, I want to make choices. If I want a middle class, you know, and who knows what that means anymore, but you know, the idea is you really want to know kind of the income that they've got coming in. And if they themselves don't have the income, like sometimes, you know, I work with teenagers, you know, maybe that teenager has a family that's their sponsor, or the stay-at-home mom, maybe the husband is the sponsor. So you can also look at household income because income doesn't always just come from the individual you're coaching, you know. And another thing to think about is if you're marketing to someone and it's likely someone else is funding partially or wholly their, you know, their coaching, you know, you might be marketing to that person that's lending or gifting the money. And this can be really important. I hear this all the time. I need to go talk to my partner. I need to go talk to my husband, or I need to go talk to, whoever, you know, because there's a financial decision being made between more than just the person that's going to be coached. So again, you know, look at that income level. And if you go like, oh, my audience, you know, they can't afford me, look at where they might find the resources. Another thing we often hear is like a lot of nonprofit organizations, there's a lot of grant funding. So you might be marketing. Those of you that had the opportunity to meet Bobby, he just got an amazing scholarship from the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And they're going to pay him to coach people. So, you know, he ends up marketing to the foundation to support the clients he wants to help. So again, you know, that income level doesn't need to limit you, but it may be that you're marketing to an organization or to a parent or to a partner as well, which means that you're going to have to deal with what they believe are the obstacles or why they should, their partner or their child shouldn't go through. So you're dealing with not only selling the client, but selling the stakeholder. This, of course, is super important if you're doing business to business. Of course, family and relationship status. Who are the decision makers? And we just talked about that. You know, and again, you know, you might actually look at, you know, if you are really wanting to help families or couples, you know, building your avatar around one of the people in that family that is most likely to be the decision maker. I always cringe when someone says, I'm going to market to couples. And it's like, who makes the decision in couples, usually? Anyone? I can't hear you.
I think it's the woman generally, but.
Yeah, I agree.
It is the woman, not always, but generally. So you're probably marketing to her, but you're also arming her with everything she needs to sell to her wife or to her husband. Okay. And then again, you know, these things can be important, but often not as important. Is your niche going to be related to someone's hobbies or other preferences or interests? And one of the examples I like to give is if I start talking about Brené Brown or being a musician, my tribe lights up like, oh, you know, and it's funny because like almost all of my private clients, it's like they're secret musicians or they are musicians. And it's really cool because when I mention that about myself in my tipping point story, or I talk about it in my blog post, I'm creating a different kind of connection with them. Even though it's not directly related to what I'm coaching them on, it gives us a connection. It builds a bridge. It's like, hey, they can like me better. They can start to trust because we share something in common. And then another thing to really check out, and I really recommend doing this, is take note of where they get information. You know, where do they read? What do they watch? What kinds of YouTube videos, you know? If they go to a bookstore, what books and authors do they like? Because this is going to help you to understand their interest and their needs, but it's also going to help you later on if you ever do any kind of print or digital marketing, you know, because there's a lot you can do kind of tapping into other people's audiences. So this could take forever, right? There's a couple more pieces, you know, again, may or may not be important, but you know, we've got plenty of people that of one ethnicity that really want to market to their tribe of people. You know, like Ava, who really wanted to work only with Latinos. And, you know, then she expanded it back out to include more people. But it may be that you do want to work with a specific population of people. And then, of course, this is super important. When I do work in Asia, the cultural factors really are different than when I do work in, like, you know, maybe Mexico or other places in South America, where, you know, it's just different values, different ways of achieving, different benchmarks and things like that. So again, you know, these are things to take into consideration if you're marketing to a particular tribe of people. You know, I was really, you know, I had a lot of learning in terms of, you know, family values, how they can differ over cultures, you know, with some of my clients in Japan, achievement above all else to the point where they were killing themselves. You know, again, these things don't necessarily need to be just based on a particular culture, but there are certain drivers that your clients may be surrounded by every day. And of course, you've got family culture and other things like that as well. And then, of course, you know, will you be focusing on particular spiritual practices or religions? We certainly have coaches that are Mormon that really want to help their Mormon friends and family members We have people that are Christian that want to really focus in Christianity. We certainly have people that are Buddhist, yogis, you know. I mean, and it's, you know, my wish for you guys is to own what's right for you and to bring those people to you. We can't be all things to all people. You know, as a coach trainer, you know, I welcome everyone. But as an individual client, I don't think some of my corporate clients, you know, if they don't want to do yoga and breath work, they're probably not my clients. my way of working with people wouldn't feel comfortable to them. So it's absolutely okay to bring this in, and that will be part of how you identify with your tribe. And if not, it's okay too. So what I would like us to do is spend about 15 minutes. And what we're going to do is we're going to like really kind of claim our ideal client avatar name. So what I want you to do, I'm going to have to go back to my little ideal client thingy here. Okay. I have to stop share to start share. Yay. Okay. Can you guys see the little handout? Okay. So what I would like you to do is finish filling this in. And at the very bottom, you'll see I've created an egoic title for this person. So an egoic title should be like a 2 or 3 word kind of moniker that helps you to quickly identify with your avatar. So I chose spiritual entrepreneur because I really want to coach people that are, you know, people that definitely, and you can see underneath, I put some additional archetypes. I really want to help people that are entrepreneurs. That's my first and first priority. But I don't want to just help any entrepreneur. I don't want to help the entrepreneur that wants to build a new widget for a computer. I don't want to help an entrepreneur that wants to build a new snowboard. I mean, see, these are my old clients. I really want to help people that are making the world a better place. And I want to help people that have a spiritual aspect to them, you know, a practiceness, you know, and to me, spiritual is a level of consciousness. So if you want to partner with a couple people and brainstorm, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go off here and just see if there's anyone here that would like to brainstorm with a couple people. Raise your hand and I can do a breakout. Okay. All right. So is there anyone that would love to do it on their own? Maybe I should have done it that way. No solos today? Cool. Okay. So Leah, would you like to do it on your own? Okay. So what I will do, is there anyone else? So what I would suggest you do is read off the list of factors that you have for your client, and then let your partner, what I'll probably do is put you in threes. I think that'll work. Pretty close. Yeah, I think we'll have 3 and 3. And then let your partners help come up with ideas for how they might describe them. So it looks like Claudine is sick and she's just going to listen too. Okay. Cool. And it looks like Karen had a tip for one. So what I would do is when you go in the breakout room, we'll go for about 20 minutes. Just read off your list and then let your partners popcorn things that come into their head for titles. So an egoic title could be, you know, one of the archetypes. It could be an actual title like business executives, you know, like with a descriptor on it. The idea is that you're just starting to get ideas from the resources in the room here. This is not about perfecting this. It's just about brainstorming. Okay. Any questions? And I'll come into each room and check on you too. Okay. So, I think some of you might get a couple. right, see you in 20, and I'll come in and check on you guys.
I like your big red wall.
Hi.
Hey, lovelies. Claudine is just on the phone, so I don't think she's going to be joining you.
Okay.
But we just you two.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.